Thank you, Jim. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. We had looked at this portion on Thursday night, some thoughts concerning the Ethiopian eunuch, and also some comparisons to the life of the Apostle Paul and his conversion as well. I'm just going to focus mainly on the Ethiopian eunuch. I enjoyed some thoughts as I read through this portion and did a little bit of studying on it. And I think it's as I mentioned Thursday, it's interesting that this man, Ethiopian eunuch, who was Gentile, he was not Jewish, and he came up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, there were those of the Gentiles who called proselytized into the Jewish religion, quote-unquote, and as a result, they followed many of the traditions and ways of the Jewish people. And this is what this man found himself in, and obviously, while he was there in Jerusalem, he had been searching that when he left Jerusalem, as he was reading Isaiah 53, that he found the answer he was looking for. But he didn't find it in Jerusalem in their quote-unquote religious worship. It was not there. But he found it simply in the Word of God. And you know, there's many people today that are searching and that are in religious organizations teachings of man, interpretations of man's thoughts, and religion that is centered around man. But they only will find that the true answer is not there, but as the Ethiopian eunuch found it, simply in the Word of God. And so the need today is for man to return to the Word of God and depend on the Spirit of God to lead him into the truth of the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, as we see the Ethiopian eunuch is. We looked at Thursday, and as he was traveling, returning back home, that as he was reading Isaiah 53, that Philip, the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, "Go and join thyself to the chariot." It's a very interesting thought as we think that that Philip, we don't know anything about Philip to this point, but the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. He was just a common man. And he spoke to Philip to go near and to join to this man. And you know, that's the work of God, isn't it? To use someone to reach others. And it's knowing that the Lord is leading, that the Spirit of God is leading and directing. As the opportunity comes to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are about us. And Philip had a listening ear, and he was obedient, and he went and joined himself. The Ethiopian, as he was reading the portion, Philip asked him, "Do you understand what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading from Isaiah?" And you know, it's a great question. And we need to understand. And that's what the gospel is all about, isn't it? So we need to understand it. And it's understanding that man is a sinner. And that man cannot save himself. But we can only be saved through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, and our forgiveness of sin through him can be simply understood through the work of the Spirit of God and the reading of his word. And we see that the Ethiopian eunuch had a question for him in verse 34. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Who is this? Is he addressing? Is he speaking concerning himself, Isaiah? Or is he speaking of some other man? And of course, that portion there is in the past tense. As the prophet writes, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. You know, the Lord, as he reveals the things of Christ that is to come, that the Lord Jesus would be that one. And when Israel finally recognizes their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to look back and they're going to repeat those words. He was the one on the cross of Calvary. He was that one whom we crucified. That one whom we gave up to be crucified. He was that one who was bruised for our iniquities and so on. They're going to recognize that at that time. And so Philip says, and he opens his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. He spoke unto him concerning that one that Isaiah was speaking of. That this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the one that was wounded for your transgressions, was a bruise for your iniquities. And so on, as he spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then, as in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what I would like to focus on this morning. This was the message that the Ethiopian eunuch heard. And this was the message that as he continued on home into his country, that he would preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what Isaiah was speaking of in that portion. That he's truly the Son of God. There's many people today that see the Lord Jesus as many different things. They see him as a good man. They see him as a man who did many good things. They see him as one, yes, to follow. They see him as someone who spoke things that make me feel good, and that I like. But you know, he's the Son of God. He's God manifested in the flesh. And I think if we see nothing else in this portion, that it's the clear and true message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's God made known in the flesh. When Abraham offered his son Isaac on the altar, when he took his only son and he was willing to sacrifice him, and as he had the knife about to slay him, ram was caught in the thicket and was sacrificed in his place. And God says God will provide himself a lamb. He provided that lamb. It's a great picture of the relationship of the father and son and the obedience of Isaac to his father. And what a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to God the Father. And that ram that was caught in the thicket, what a tremendous picture of who the Son really would be. He would be the spotless Lamb of God. There would be no blemish. He was perfect. And that's what the Lord Jesus is. He is the perfect Son of God. Paul's message was the same. Notice in chapter 9 and verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is what? The Son of God. And it's, as I was preparing some thoughts, I was thinking, that's the main focal point to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's very God manifested in his flesh, in his birth, in his death, in his burial, resurrection, the many things that miracles that he performed and all that he did only pointed to he's the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized. Said to Philip, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. The Ethiopian had believed with all his heart. And you know, this was a whole new thing that had opened up to this man. Far different from what he heard at Jerusalem and compared to the religious ways of man. This couldn't begin to be compared because his heart was touched. And he acknowledged that he believed with all his heart. And you know, that's what God wants. There's so many today that think they believe, hope they believe, but don't really have the confidence and assurance. They can't really say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is my Savior because of who he is. And as a result, he commanded the chariot to stand still. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and he went on his way. What a tremendous experience that this man has went through. God had touched his heart and his life. And as he was baptized and willing to follow the Lord with all his heart, with all his in his mind, and he wanted to follow him. More than anything else, he wanted to be obedient to the Lord, and he wanted to do that by being baptized in following the Lord. A great testimony to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we're saved, when we first come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept him as our Savior, and we ought to follow him in obedience, in baptism. And to be obedient to him in our life and seek to follow him. And this is how the gospel was sent to the country Ethiopia, to that part of the world, through this man whom God had touched. I wanted to continue to focus on the thought of that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and how important it is that we recognize that he truly is the one whose name is power, his might, the miracles that he performed in every part of the life of the Lord Jesus. He recognized that he presented himself as the Son of God. He was in his humiliation, he humbled himself. He did all things in obedience to the Father. But he truly was God, manifest in the flesh. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John writes at the conclusion of, and it's interesting that as he concludes the gospel, and as he wrote, sometimes it's interesting how a book begins and also how it ends. And that's the part sometimes people only read is the beginning and the end and some of the body, and that's about it. But John writes in the conclusion of his epistle, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The purpose in writing, John says, in recording all that we have concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, so many of his miracles and so on, all of his writings, the whole purpose that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the whole purpose. Many people didn't recognize him as that. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, said, whom do people say that I am? And they said, some said John the Baptist. Some said Elias. Some said a prophet. But he said to the disciples, whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, he recognized he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's so important that in the day in which we're living that we recognize that as God's only begotten Son, the many miracles that he performed and the many things that he spoke, the many things that he did, all brought him to the recognition that man might see that he's the Son of God. He's God manifested in the flesh. The equality of the Father and the Son together is so important to see, that in order that people might believe that he truly is who he is. And you know, the prophets prophesied of him. So many of the prophets that spoke of the Lord Jesus, the credentials of the prophets, one was that the prophecy would not be fulfilled until after their death. And many of the prophets that spoke of him had died before the prophecy was fulfilled. Many of these things is the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as the one who fulfilled all things, came in fulfillment in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. of God. And the whole purpose is that he's the Son of God, and that ye might believe, that ye might have life through his name. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch believed with all his heart. And he acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way that he could have forgiveness of sin. And no true worship is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says it's the only way that we can have life through his name, by simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who accomplished the work on Calvary on your behalf and on mine. Now we're going to go to 1 John. We're going to look at another aspect of this. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. But if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in him. God does not dwell in your life or mine if we fail to recognize that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God and who he says he is. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But if we fail to recognize who he really is, that it's him that has done all the work, then he doesn't really dwell in us. We have to first recognize in believing that Jesus Christ is the only way that I can be saved, that I can have my sins forgiven. And we need to confess that. John writes the word confess. And the word confess simply means just to tell, right? One who goes before a stand to testify of what he knows on behalf of someone else, he confesses that this is the truth, and that he will tell the truth. We need to confess. We need to tell. We need to know in our own life that God dwells within us because Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, has done all the work of redemption. I can't do anything. That he's the one that can do, that the only one that can do the work for us. The Ethiopian eunuch couldn't save himself. And all that he heard at Jerusalem of the religious teachings of man couldn't bring peace to his heart. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ that could fill his heart. And he believed with all his heart of the truth that he saw in the Word of God. And it's true with us, isn't it? But God wants to dwell with us. The Ethiopian eunuch is a picture of one who was saved in recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. And here we see that John says that that God dwells in you and I if we recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of man. John says that if we confess, and we need to confess before God that he truly is the Son of God. So often we take things for granted. we say things lightly and so on. We do we truly mean it? We truly acknowledge that He truly is the Son of God. Now let's go over to chapter 5 and begin at verse 1. 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'd just like for us to look at this portion and to see the fact that the Lord Jesus here, as he speaks of his love, that as the love of God that is shown in our hearts, that it's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything of ourselves. There's no way that we can show forth the love of Christ without Christ in our hearts. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We're born of God, born from above. Everyone that loveth, that truly loveth, that truly sincerely shows love, can only project the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true love, isn't it? The world thinks they know all about love. The world thinks that they have the answer and the love that makes you feel good and so on. But true love comes from the Lord. There's no comparison to it whatsoever. It's his true love is found in him. The minute we're saved, we're born again. We're born into his love, the genuineness of his love. Notice in verse 4, he also speaks of the fact of being overcome the world. In verse 4, it's not whosoever, it's whatsoever is born of God. Whatsoever has the thought of God's power and his might. It's his power that's seen. And it's only through his power, when one is born of God, can we overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Overcoming the world. It's a big thought, isn't it? How do we overcome the world? You know, sometimes we're faced with difficulties in life. We're faced perhaps with things in our life that we don't know how to overcome. Perhaps we're faced with things that has gripped a hold of our life, and we know that it's wrong, but yet we can't overcome it. Some things that we allow to come in and grab a hold of our life, and first thing you know, we can't get control of it. And that thing has overcome us. It's gained power within us, and we're allowing it to take control and to overcome us. I remember last summer I was looked at this job with this lady who wanted some work done. And I looked at the job and got talking with her. She began to tell me some of the troubles that she had gone through. She had a daughter who was in Zora Valley, and while she was there, some of you maybe remember on the news where a lad had rolled a log down the hill and crushed this girl to death. It was her only daughter that she had. And this lady's heart was broken. She said, you know, people would say to me, you've got to overcome this. You can't continue to live this way. And she says, you know, I would think of that, but she says, I couldn't. I just couldn't overcome it. And she says, you know, it's not that easy. And you know, as she shared with me her heart, you could sense the depthness of what she was bearing in her own heart and mind. But you see, the only way is to overcome, is to recognize through God's perspective. Through God's perspective. If we continually look through our perspective, we're not going to overcome anything. But you see, it's through God's perspective. And I think that's what makes the difference. To overcome, to gain victory, overcome the world is our faith. It's centered in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He truly is the Son of God. To overcome, Paul says in Romans 12, to overcome evil with good. To put good in place of evil. To put good in the place of evil, we might overcome that evil. Not to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. That in putting the good against the evil, that victory will be brought. You see, that the only way we can overcome the world is through true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God. It's the only way. Now, there's many believers that do not overcome the world. And as a result, the world has overcome them. And that's possible. But God wants us to recognize that in order to overcome the influences and the teachings and all the avenues of the world in which they are focusing on, all of the world system is only controlled by evil and by Satan. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have the victory through Him, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, part of recognizing that He's the Son of God is seeing by faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He says He is. we haven't seen the Lord Jesus. No one has seen, since he has gone back to heaven, nobody has seen him. But we believe. Faith is believing in the unseen, that he truly is the Son of God. And the only way that we can overcome the world is to recognize that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him alone, as God the Son. And he has the answer. Let's go to John chapter 16. Our time is just about gone, but I just want to in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He's already done that. He's already overcome the world at the cross of Calvary. He defeated Satan and all of his power and hosts. All things were destroyed. The things of the evil system of this world was brought to naught at the cross of Calvary. He's overcome the world. That's already been done. And he wants to give you and I the power to overcome the world by simple faith and claiming the victory that is ours, that he won at the cross of Calvary. You see, if we don't overcome the world will overcome us. We can fall into the trap of the world and get into the snares and which would draw us away. We allow the world to come in and to overcome us and to take hold of our lives. God wants us to simply believe in him, that he truly is the Son of God, and that he has the victory. He's won the victory at the cross, and that victory can be appropriated to us as we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and to recognize that's the only way that we can overcome the world. Let's just close in a word of prayer.